closing, I would like the family in the second row from the very end to stand up and introduce himself. If you would like to, your family stand up and introduce. This is, I think, their first Sunday here, but I wouldn't know because I haven't been to church all week, all year. All right, sir. Wow. Listen to all those biblical names. Let's give them a hand. Thank you very much. Understand that Seth knows how to play the piano. So if you ever need a piano player, he played piano at his last church. So that's pretty good. Naomi's going to go out and get the Valentine song from his Jesus Valentine to us. Anyway, while she's getting that, I would just like to read out of Exodus 14. And that's right when Moses finally leading the children of Israel out of the Egyptians' bondage. Now they're stuck on the Red Sea in front of them, and the Egyptian soldiers coming behind them. An exact 14. Verses 10 through 13, Exodus 14. When the Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? It is not for the world that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again, no more, forever. So sometimes, all we have to do is stand still. Sometimes we try to do it ourselves. But just keep praying and stand still, and the Lord will deliver us. This song is called Stand Still. Then Naomi will be back with the special Valentine from Jesus. Heat up. There it is. The Father has a plan, though it's hard to see it now. You feel you're walking all alone, but He is there, no doubt. When the storm around you rages and you're tossed to and fro, when you're faced with life's decisions, not sure which way to go, stand still and let God move. Standing still is hard to do when you feel you have reached the end. He'll make a way for you. Surrounds you and the walls are closing in. When the tide is swiftly rising and you wonder where he's been, friend, there never was a moment that his arms weren't reaching out. You can rest assured and be secure. God's moving right now. Stand still. He'll make standing still is hard to do. When you feel you have reached the end, he'll make a way for you. Just stand still and let God move. The answer will come, but only in his time. Just stand still and let God move. Stand still and let God move. And the people said, Amen.
Thank you.
you folks this past week heard the news talking about these meteorites and things like that that are falling?
Oh, yeah. Amen.
I think San Diego paper had about 3 pages on it. When was it, Friday or yesterday or something? That was after I had prepared a message on the 7 trumpets of Revelation chapters 8 through 11. That's the title of our message tonight at 6 o'clock. I had my message before all this happened, and then it seems like just to substantiate what I had already compiled, God sent these things flying through the heavens, and it just, to me, it confirmed everything that I had already studied about and got ready. So we're going to be preaching about that tonight. It's kind of scary when you think about the power, they tell us, that these big rocks have that are hurling through space, some of them getting a little bit too close to where we live. But anyway, this morning, I want to take a text from the book of Proverbs, the 15th chapter, and verse 3. This message today, the outline of it is not original. I didn't think about this myself, but I was handed a tract. I believe in the power of tracts because they're God's word in writing, and many people have come to know Christ as Savior by reading these tracts and following the directions on how to be saved. And this one that I ran across was entitled, Three Things That God Has Never Seen. Well, that title intrigued me. Maybe you've seen the tract, I don't know. But the first thing was that God has never seen a person who has not sinned. And the second one was, God has never seen a sinner whom he does not love. And the third point was, God has never seen a sinner that he cannot save. And that somehow, you know, that's sparks. And I said, I think I can make a sermon out of that. And so I'm going to try to share with you this morning what I added to those 3 points in that gospel tract. Proverbs 15, verse 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Think about that for a moment. God sees everything. There is nothing hid from Him. He sees that which is good. He sees that which is evil. And everything in between, I might add. The eyes of the Lord are mentioned again in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. And here it tells us that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. There's yet another. I like this one in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. The eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Think about that. God's eyes are everywhere, beholding everything that happens. He can see things that are unseen. He can see our hearts and knows what's within us. He knows more about us than we know about ourselves. Why?
Well, God has been an observer of mankind for over 6,000 years, just about it. He's seen a lot of people come and go. This earth has had many new outfittings of humanity since that time, as generation after generation has come and gone. And of all the things that God has seen, He has never seen a person who was not a sinner. Now that should break our hearts. Because if you remember back in the beginning, God made mankind in His own image, after His own likeness. Man sinned against God, turned his back on Him, and went astray. How sad that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what Paul wrote in Romans 3:23. And we know that the wages of sin is death. It always has been, and it always will be. God looked down from heaven upon those generations of our forefathers who lived during those first 1,656 years of mankind on this earth. That was man's history before the flood. And all those people were all sinners. God described them in His word as being wicked and evil. He saw there was no chance that they would ever repent and turn around and come back to Him. How sad. How heartbreaking. They would never, never turn from their evil, wicked, sinful ways. And God knew that. Finally, He gave up. He just couldn't stand it any longer. He wiped them all out with the flood. And He started over again with Noah and his family. Now Noah was one of those sinners. But Noah had found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He wasn't any better than any of the rest of them. The only reason he was spared was because of God's unmerited favor. He preached for 120 years. He built the ark. His family was spared. But after the flood, he reverted back to his sin. And he got drunk. Read about it in Genesis 9:21. You see, even saved people still sin. Because they have inherited that sin nature. And every once in a while, it pops up. Now, when you sin, it doesn't mean that you're lost again. You haven't lost your salvation. It doesn't mean that you're not a child of God anymore. It doesn't cancel out your new birth when you were born again and became a child of God. Noah was just like we are, just a sinner saved by grace, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that sinful nature that you and I have will be in us until we die, until we're laid in the grave. But praise the Lord, when we're resurrected, a new body will come out of that grave, but that old nature will stay buried. So mankind lived after the flood for another 2,350 years. give or take a few. All of them still sinners. All of them still lost. But this time, God didn't destroy them. He had made a promise to Noah. Put a rainbow in the clouds as a sign that never again will I destroy humanity with a flood. What did he do this time? Instead of sending a flood upon the world, he sent his only begotten Son into the world, that through him the world might be saved. Amen. He reached out his loving hands to mankind in love and grace and mercy. He opens his arms to us and says, come unto me. You see, Jesus died on the cross. He shed his blood to redeem mankind from sin, if they would only accept his redemption. Some did, many of them didn't. Like today, some have, multitudes haven't. And yet, it is still available. It is still free. It doesn't cost anyone anything. And it's our only insurance against eternity. God insures our soul, as it were, so that when we die, we go to heaven instead of hell. Amen. There are no premiums to pay on this insurance. Jesus paid it all. Now, granted, there are in the world today some sinners who are, well, worse than others. You and I may compare ourselves with robbers, thieves, murderers, drunkards, drug addicts, adulterers, what have you, and we may judge ourselves that we are better than they are, and we may very well be, but being better than someone else does not erase your sin and does not make you eligible for heaven. God Almighty does not save on a sliding scale. He doesn't just save the top 10 on the list. So don't look down your nose at anyone with that self-righteous, pious look. Amen. Because God has concluded that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in His sight, and the only righteousness that He will accept is that beautiful robe of the imputed righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ that He gives us when we are saved. Amen. Most people have the concept that we're sinners because of what we do. But that is not so. It is not what we do that makes us sinners. It's what we are. Amen. And we sin because we are sinners. It's what we are that makes us do the things that we do. So don't get the cart before the horse. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's never seen a person who hasn't sinned. But God has never seen a person that He does not love. Now, God may not necessarily like what we do, but he likes us. We're called the offspring of God because, having been created by him in his image after his likeness, we share his life, his immortality. He gives us intelligence and wisdom. And all of the things that God created in the book of Genesis, man was the most important to God. God gave man dominion, and that means authority over everything that he had created, everything he had made. But man betrayed God's trust. But God never ceased to love mankind, even though man had separated and estranged himself from God. Think about it. Do you really think that God enjoys it when a savage, vicious murderer dies and his soul goes out into an eternal, burning, tormenting hell to be there for all eternity? I don't think he does. God gets no pleasure, the Bible says, out of the death of the wicked. Hell was not created for man's habitation. It was created for the devil and his angels. Mankind chooses to go there because he doesn't want to have anything to do with God. He doesn't want to even be in God's presence. But God looks down and sees him as an eternal, immortal soul bearing his image, and that soul is lost and doomed forever. And he doesn't like it. Shut out from heaven. Shut out from the pleasures forever and ever. Now, when we mention the love of God, our thoughts immediately jump to John 3:16 that Buddy quoted a few minutes ago. Goes to Calvary, where Jesus was crucified, because there is the greatest manifestation of love that this world has ever seen or ever will see. When love is mentioned, we think, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that world means all the people on the face of the earth. No one is excluded. So when you become discouraged and you feel all alone and forsaken, when you're down in the dumps and feel like if there was a hole out there, you could crawl into it and just pull it in after you, remember that God loves you. God loves you. When your body is enduring almost unbearable pain, like Josh's body was here a while back, when sickness comes and saps your physical strength, remember that God loves you. When you're like Brother Wayne Fox over here, stricken with, tethered to an oxygen machine, nearly blind, crippled in one leg, remember God still loves you. Amen. When you're like Georgia Clark, talked to her a couple of days ago, my, what a beautiful soul. Stricken with cancer, crippled with a broken foot, unable to walk, God still loves her. One of our brave soldiers in Afghanistan loses his arms and legs when a bomb goes off. He remains physically maimed for the rest of his natural life, but God still loves him. When death comes and parts you from a dear loved one, your heart is broken, you're filled with sorrow and grief, God still loves you. Who or what can separate us from the love of God? God has never seen a person that he doesn't love. That caused Paul to write, inspired by the Holy Spirit, in Romans chapter 8, verse 35. He's talking about what can separate us from the love of God. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, he says, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, because God has never seen a sinner that he doesn't love. Amen. Another thing God has never seen, he's never seen a sinner that he cannot save. Amen. There is no sin, regardless of how horrible, how repulsive, how heinous, that God cannot forgive and will not forgive if that sinner comes to him with a penitent heart and accepts the atonement that has been provided by our Lord Jesus Christ in his death on the cross of Calvary. Christ died for our sins. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever, that means anyone and everyone, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's word. That's his word. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's like that time when Paul and Silas were preaching in the city of Philippi and telling people about Jesus, telling them how to be saved. The authorities came and put them in prison after they were beaten. At midnight, God sent an earthquake that opened the doors and shook the chains off of all the prisoners and opened the prison doors. And the Philippian jailer, the guy that was in charge, feared for his life. And he was going to commit suicide and kill himself. Until Paul said, sir, do thyself no harm, we're all here. And he came trembling and fell at their feet, said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they answered him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Yes, the wages of sin is still death, but the gift of God is still eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. Fact is, God loves you, and he's made provision for your sin. All you have to do is to respond to his love and call upon him. Remember, Jesus told us about a publican. He wanted to go into the house of God. He wanted to go into the temple and worship God. But the weight of his sin was almost unbearable, and he could not persuade himself to go into the presence of a holy God. He stood afar off. He would not so much as lift up his eyes toward heaven. He smote on his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know what Jesus said? He told his disciples, he says, he went down to his house justified. That means saved. That means he was righteous. That means that he was a child of God. All of his sins had been removed and washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. That could be you today if you've never accepted it. God looks down upon this congregation today and he sees each one of us individually. He knows our hearts, he knows our needs. He knows how close we are to him or how far we may be from him. But God's heart reaches out today to each and every one of us. Says, come unto me. Come to me. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Let's stand together, please. With our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your grace toward us, for the mercy that's extended to us. We thank you for the privilege of being able to preach a message like this and offer eternal salvation to whosoever will. And there's no reason at all why any person under the sound of my voice today should go out these church doors unsaved. No reason at all. So Father, today convict our hearts. Show us that we have sinned. And show us your great love toward us. And save us by your wonderful grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Number 34.
Congregation this morning. I've enjoyed sharing with you the Word of God. Come back again tonight and hear a message on the seven trumpets, if you will, from the book of Revelation. And if you can't come, read, please, the 8th through the 11th chapters of Revelation, and you'll get an idea of what our message is going to be like about tonight. May you have a wonderful afternoon. Enjoy this beautiful day that God has given us. Brother Patterson, will you lead us, please, in our prayer?
Father, we thank you for the message today, and knowing that Jesus is our Savior, and that we can call upon His name, and we can know that we will spend eternity with Jesus and with our Father someday. We just pray that you would be with those that we've lost John Covington. We just pray for comfort for his family. I know he's been in a lot of pain and anguish over the last couple of years. So give his family peace, knowing that he is now with you in your presence. And I just pray that if there's anyone here who has not accepted Christ as their Savior, that you would draw them to you, and that each and every one of us will be with you someday. And we just thank you, pray that you be with us this week, and go with us, and watch over us, and bring us back safely. And we pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.